Praise the Lord. It's good to be here, and I tell you, my heart has been challenged with the preaching of the Word of God today, and I tell you, we need help. Our churches need help, and me personally, I am not swallowing the excuse that it's the political situation and the economic situation as to why that our churches are declining and drying up and dividing, being divided. And I'm just not going to swallow that. Because last time I checked, our spirituality is not connected to the political world at all. Us being a follower of Christ is not attached to the political world. They didn't vote on it. They couldn't vote for it or against it. Amen. And God needs a last day church. God needs last day preachers. God needs last day Christians. Last day witnesses. Amen. He needs that. I believe a lot of places I go, they seem to have all over their countenance. They seem to have on their face just a, well, you know, we're victims of prophecy, and you know, we're just locked in this deadness, and hang on. Hopefully, Jesus will come before long. I don't believe that's the way it ought to be. I believe we ought to be walking in victory. Amen. Goliath had nothing to say about David's victory. I mean, if he'd had his way, David would have not had no victory. But he had nothing to do with it. David's victory come from the Lord. And our victory comes from the Lord. Amen. And we need to get our focus on that. And the Lord's been helping me to do that. The Lord's been helping me to get my focus on Him. I've not fixed anything by worrying. Nothing. I know what it is to have ulcers. Most pastors do. Say amen right there. A pastor without ulcers, that's hard to imagine. I tell him I need to go get a checkup. Make sure. No, I'm just kidding about that. But that's not God's will. It's not God's will for us to be moping around. And I'll tell you, the preaching today nailed it, didn't it? I mean, nailed the problem. And Brother Wenzel was preaching today about being close to the Lord. The promises of God attached to closeness or something to that effect. And I believe that's it. People act, though, like in our day that you can't get close to God. It's too hard, preacher. It's too tough. It's too difficult. No, we're too carnal. Carnality is the only thing that'll never make a move toward God. Carnality won't. Anyway, well, praise the Lord. I've looked at everything from the maps. I looked between Dan and Beersheba for a little dirt clod to try to preach on or something, I tell you. And Brother Wenzel, he dealt with most of the message. And I know what you're thinking. Good, you don't have to preach that part. If he dealt with most of it, that means most of it's done been preached, so just give us the closing. All right, Matthew 26. Amen. If you pray for me tonight, pray the Lord to help me. I tried to hand this mic off to every preacher in here. I tried to get Brother Dotson's attention back there, and he wouldn't even look at me. I offered to pay Brother Jeff Brown, and he wouldn't take it. So here I am, amen. Brother Rowell's not interested. I think I even asked Brother Rowell, didn't I, Brother Rowell? Yeah, see there? You're supposed to be instant in season, out of season. All right. That's enough out of me. All right. Chapter 26 of the book of Matthew. And I want to read, I believe the Lord has really spoke to my heart about it. To me personally, He's been dealing with me personally about this thing. And we could all stand up here and we could talk and discuss and all about the situation in our world, in our country, and in our churches. We could talk about all that. But my question is, how are you dealing with it? We could talk about all the wrongs, but how are you dealing with it? Are you dealing with it wrong? Is it getting you wrong? If you don't deal with wrongs right, then your wrongs will deal with you wrong. Amen. The wrongs will deal with you wrong. Amen. But we can deal with them right. And we've got examples in our Bible where people that dealt with them wrong. We have examples where people dealt with things unexpected, unwanted, unwelcome, uncomfortable, but it happened. And Peter's one of them, and he dealt with it wrong. He responded wrong. He was a classic example of responding wrong to situations. Some of those situations was even in the fulfillment of Scripture. When he would be betrayed there in the garden. I mean, that was fulfilling Scripture. Look at Matthew 26, verse 54. This is from the very lips of the Son of God, verse 54. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? That had to happen. The betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ had to happen to fulfill Scripture. And when it happened, and then of course Peter, he responds to that betrayal and all of those that came to arrest the Lord, he responded to that in the flesh and pulled his sword out and cut an ear off, and he thought he was doing right. He thought, I'm defending my Lord. I'm defending my master. I'm defending my best friend. I'm doing right. He felt like he did right. But what did the Lord do? The Lord rebuked him. The Lord rebuked him for doing that. Fixed his failures, though, thank God. Put the ear back on. That's a good message right there. God is able to fix our failures. And I'm glad failures are not final. I'm glad of that. But even when there's the fulfillment of Scripture, but look at verse number 56 again. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Now look at the next statement in that verse. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Brother Rao, that's in the same verse. Brother Melton, that's in the same verse that Jesus said, all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now why would they do that? When Jesus just told them, said, listen, all this is going on. All of this had to happen. All of it is fulfilling the Scriptures of the prophets. But all the disciples fled, forsook him, and fled. And I want to tell you what I believe that is. A lot of people want Jesus to fit into their ideals about Jesus. The Jesus they want. And when Jesus is even, amen. And when Jesus goes contrary to that, even if it's fulfilling Scripture, even if it is scriptural, they forsake him and left and fled. And I'm seeing that happen. I don't know how many pastors we have in the service tonight, but I guarantee you about every pastor in here can give testimony that they have saw people walk away. Amen. And I've said this here before, and I'll just mention it and go on. You know, when all of this mess started over the past couple of years, I was losing my joy. I really was. I can tell y'all weren't. But I was losing my joy, Brother Tucker. And the Lord asked me in prayer one day, he said, are you upset because Scripture's being fulfilled and prophecy's being fulfilled? Or are you upset because your world is changing? Guess which one I had to check? It wasn't the spiritual box. My world, my normal. And I was responding wrong. It's not God's will for us to lose our joy. No, it's not God's will for us to do that. But all of it was done. And the Bible said that the way the disciples responded to that, I mean, if they really believed Jesus and what he said, I mean, my Bible's got most of verse 56 in red letter. I mean, even if it wasn't red letter, it'd still be annoying. It'd still be the inspired word of God. But that lets us know that they were hearing these words come from the very lips of the Son of God, that the Scriptures were being fulfilled. They should have said, well, praise God. That's what they should have said. I don't really like it, but praise God. I'm glad the Scripture's being fulfilled and the plan of God is being carried out. But no. Soon as Jesus went contrary to what they wanted, they bailed out and left. And Jesus knew that was in them. And Jesus knows if that's in us. He knows if we're sunshine Christians. He knows if we're just going along as long as everything's agreeable. And most people in church, that's the only kind of preaching they like, is what they agree with. Well, I don't want to get on that. But they responded. They forsook him and fled. That meant they left him. And they fled. To run away is what that means. To shun. Look how they're treating the Lord. These disciples here can't say nothing about Judas. How many times we jumped on Judas and put a chokehold on him and throwed him out the window. But how many times have we bailed out, turned our back on the Lord, and forsook him and fled because of something that we didn't understand? Come on now. And they all forsook him and fled. And that word fled there means to shun or to escape or flee away, to run away. What about that? To shun. Don't want nothing to do with him. What about that? Well, I'm going to tell you, we're being tested. We're being tested. Church is being tested. And how are we going to respond? Some are doing that right there. They're deserters. They're those who have abandoned. They've departed. They've turned and ran away. They didn't walk away. They ran away as if they couldn't get away from Christ quick enough. Can you imagine what that done to the Son of God? Jesus, the closer he got to being crucified or glorified, the closer he was getting to being crucified. And there he was, God manifest in the flesh. And look at him when he dies, hardly anybody was there. Where was his disciples? Was he needing their support? You can't preach the Garden of Gethsemane without seeing that Jesus Christ had Peter, James, and John closest to him because he needed them. And here's the word that's used over and over, with him. He needed their support. He needed just, amen. But when he looked, he saw them sleeping. How are we going to deal with hard times? Are we going to be the deserting type of a disciple and quit church and quit praying and quit reading our Bible and quit tithing and quit giving to missions and quit witnessing? Quit coming to Sunday school? Are you listening? Hey, I'm going to tell you, we can have revival. We can have revival. I was preaching up in Wartburg, Tennessee just a few weeks ago in a revival meeting. And Dr. Ray Bearden, I know maybe some of you know him. He's an older pastor, preacher. And he says that he's being told everywhere he goes by preachers that we can't have revival in this hour. I wouldn't sit under a man like that 5 minutes. If he didn't have no more confidence in that we can't have revival, amen. He said, amen. He preached that in a camp meeting and they rebuked him. We can't have revival. Where are they getting that at? How are you responding to what's going on? Are you making a move toward God? Or are you drifting away? Are you getting further away? Are you like these disciples that deserted and departed and ran away? Are you like them? I want you to know you could be. You've got that potential in you. I've got that potential in me. I tell you, I don't want to quit. I'd rather for you to hear that I've died than for you to hear that I've quit. And one of the great things, Brother Rao, that's helping me to deal with even a thought that would go quickly through my mind about hanging it up and quitting, what's the use, is because the hurt that I've experienced watching some walk away. I know how it feels. I know how it feels, and I don't want nobody to feel that off of me. Amen, that's right. But not only were there those that deserted and ran away, but that's not really what I want to focus on tonight. I want to look at Peter. Look, if you will, in our same text here, verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. And notice this. But Peter followed afar off. I mean, it goes without saying, at least without saying again, that we could be like those disciples in verse 56, that because of all that was happening and they weren't agreeing with it, even though it was fulfilling Scripture in their life, they deserted and they departed and they fled and they ran away and they shunned the very Savior. And it could be that these mentioned there was like those in John 6, that many of his disciples walked away, went away and walked no more with him. These right here, that might have been their last move. They may have never returned. They may have never got right with the Lord. May never. Are you listening? And I'm seeing people get wrong, but I'm not seeing too many get right. What's the deal with that? People leave the church, they leave wrong. They leave wrong, that's all you can say. But they never seem to want to make it right. They don't have to, they think. They can go over there and join up with that church and hold positions and everything else. But I better get off that. But here's another option. Peter didn't desert and run off like those in verse 56. He didn't do that. What did he do? He continued to follow. Now, that sounds like a good, commendable thing. And certainly in light of verse 56, what they did, it is a commendable thing. At least he didn't quit. He at least was still following. The Bible said that he still was following in verse 58. But Peter followed. But here's the problem. He followed afar off. He followed with distance. And brother, I'm going to tell you, if there's any distance in you, these days will fertilize that, fuel that. Amen. And we've got people, they're still going to church, but they're distant. They're still, amen, they're still giving, they're still going, they're still doing, but they're distant from the Lord. You can be outwardly look like, amen, you're still right there, but inwardly you may be distant. Are you a distant follower? You know in your heart if you are. Brother Tommy, every time I've gotten cold in my heart, I didn't have to have nobody tell me. Holy Spirit was wearing me out, one, and I knew that I wasn't where I used to be, where I was supposed to be, Brother Wenzel. But Peter, the Bible said, followed afar off. The Bible said that. Afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. What about that? I thought about old Peter following afar off. His problem was not direction. His problem was distance. Has there been a time in your life, don't answer out loud, just be honest with yourself, has there been any time in your life that you've been closer to the Lord than you are right now? If the answer to that is yes, I want to ask you a second question. Are you bothered by that? Does that bother you that you could put your spiritual high, your spiritual best, somewhere in the past? Just like the church of Galatia, you did run well. You did. At some point, you did run well. But who did hinder you? So Peter was a distant disciple. And you know, really, those two are hand in hand, though. He was really deserting the Lord, even though he was right in the same trail, the same path. He was still deserting the Lord, just like the rest of them. Matthew 26:58, but Peter followed afar off. Matthew deals with it, Mark deals with it, Luke deals with it, and all of them records that he followed afar off. You're not going to keep that a secret. Matthew wrote about it. Holy Spirit impressed them to write about it. So Matthew knew it. Mark knew it. Luke knew it. Jesus knew it. The enemies of Christ knew it. Everybody knew it. They could see it. Following afar off. Amen. Peter was following distantly. I wrote this down as I was meditating upon this. Peter was close enough to be counted, but he wasn't close enough to count. He was close enough to be counted as one of the 12, one of the disciples, but he wasn't close enough to count. I know growing up, I know some of you may not can relate to this, but growing up, when we would ask about the value or the worth of something, we would ask it that way. We would say, are there any count? Well, Jeff, if we went and looked at a dog, you know, or whatever, we'd want to know, is he any count? Is he any count? You know, talking about people, are they any count? They ain't no count. I've heard people say that. Oh, they ain't no count. Well, Peter was close enough that he was counted, but he wasn't close enough to count. He wasn't close enough to be making a difference. He wasn't close enough to be supporting Christ. He was not close enough. He was close enough to see Christ. And most people, that's all they want. I'm close enough. Spirituality, well, Brother Dotson, spirituality, true spirituality will never say that. True spirituality will never say to you, you're close enough. That's carnality. That's carnality that does it. That's flesh that does that. I'm close enough. Well, what determines that? What are you coming to that conclusion over? What are you using? I'm close enough. Are you comparing yourself to others? Well, Peter could have said, well, you know what? At least I'm still at least in the same path of the Lord. I didn't run off like them other boys. He could have said that. But Peter, ladies and gentlemen, he was counted, but he wasn't of no count. He was no count. Amen. Him not right with God, he was of no count. Lord help us. I like that myself. But I've been there. I've been no count before. I knew it. Say amen right there. You have too. I knew it. Amen. Let's move on. I thought about this. Others revealed Peter's identity with Christ, but Peter tried to conceal his identity. Everybody else pointing him out. Yeah, you're one of them. You're with him. I saw you. I know what you're talking about. He started lying. He wasn't just denying. He was lying. Oh, I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't with him. It's amazing what you'll come up with when you're trying to save your own hide. It's amazing how far you'll go to try to get away from the sights on the gun. Amen. It's amazing what you'll come up with. Lord, help us. You cannot be too close to Christ and spend time with Christ without that intimacy leaving a mark on your life. And that's been preached today. Brother Mullins and Brother Wenzel. That's already been preached today, without a doubt. Close enough always is for the purpose of avoiding your identity with Christ. I'm close enough. That's a cover-up. Amen? Looking at Jesus from a distance lacks details. that lacks details from a distance. Amen. I wrote this down as well. Where there is the absence of Christ's likeness is a testimony that there is an absence of intimacy with the Lord. Because Peter wasn't close to him. He was distant from him. And therefore you could see that there was no resemblance. God wants us to have a resemblance. Christian means Christ-like. Amen. We're seeing people today going haywire. I mean going crazy. I'm seeing people go literally crazy. Doctrinally crazy. Morally crazy. And I tell you what, friend, I don't know how to process that. I don't know how. I can't explain that. I can't explain how somebody can go from being an absolute tremendous Bible preacher and a prayer warrior and switch and go and join the Church of Christ and be baptized for the remission of their sin, Brother Ralph. I can't get that in my head. I believe that 1 Timothy 4:1 is in play in our life. That those seducing spirits, buddy, are causing people to turn from the faith, depart from the faith, and not just depart from the faith, but giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. There's seducing spirits, Brother Webb, in our day that will cause you to believe that all that you had embraced is wrong. And what is wrong is right. And you'll embrace that. Are y'all listening? I'm talking about a preacher that stood in this pulpit many times and preached. Praise hours a day or did. Bible student, great Bible student, great insight in the Scripture, and then all of a sudden now I don't know how to explain that. Are you listening? And it hurt me, Brother Tommy, deeply. I saw him get saved. I baptized him. We put our hands on him and ordained him and sent him out and commissioned the church that where he started before he tore the sign down and changed it now to a Church of Christ. And he's done turned in his ordination papers and all that. That hurt me. But I want you to know, and I want it to go on record, it didn't hurt me bad enough for me to quit. It didn't call. When Peter saw all of them leave, he didn't go with them. He wasn't right yet. He was following afar off. But I want to tell you what, friend, you better make up your mind. You better know what you believe. You better know, amen, who Christ is on a personal level and never question that. Stay with God. Amen. If the whole outfit quits. Amen. If family quits. If friends quit. And I'm not shocked at nothing in our day. You better know where you're at. And you following afar off, you're not going to make it. You following afar off, that's an indication of a problem right there. You're not doing good if you're following afar off. If you're distant from the Lord, and you know if you are, you are not doing good. And you should not be feeling good about it. Amen. Especially after what we've heard today. Good gracious. That's right. But we find here that Peter was following afar off. Amen. He was following, but he wasn't interested in participation. He was only interested in observation. How many people's come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and all you come for is to watch? You didn't come to get in. You didn't come to participate. You only come to observe. You only come to watch, to see what's going to happen. Amen. Lord, help us. I'm going to say along with the rest of them. Brother Mullen said it, and Brother Wenzel said it, and I tried to tag off on preaching. Hey, both of them said today, said, boy, it's hard preaching. It's hard preaching. It ought not to be that way here. It ought not to be that way in this congregation. Amen. I was thinking that today when Brother Wenzel was preaching, and he said that. I thought, man, it ought not to be like that around here. Amen. We're all on the same team. We agree with what he preached, what Brother Mullins preached 100%. Amen. It ought not to have been that way. The devil's what's fighting it. The devil don't like it. Amen. And so Peter was a following afar off. He really was. I wrote this down as well. I'm convinced that if you're close to Christ or distant from Christ, either one, you will both know it and show it. It'll show up in you verbally as it did with Peter, and it'll show up with you visibly as it did with Peter. Everybody will be able to see it, and they'll be able to hear it. Amen. I was just reading as we were coming down the road today. I was looking in chapter 26 and just was reading this, and you could tell Peter had problems. You don't just wind up in verse number 58 and following afar off. Peter had problems in this whole chapter. Peter had problems in this whole chapter. In fact, if you start looking at verse number 33 and all the way down through verse number 35, you'll find that Peter had self-confidence problems. Oh, Lord, they may all leave you and they may all quit and they may all run off from you, Lord, but not me. No, I'll die for you. You can count on me, Lord. He was already having problems. Amen. If he would have dealt with the self-confidence issue, verse 33 down through verse number 35? Well, then you move on to verse 36. He had a sleeping problem. He had a sleeping problem and a supplication problem. Instead of being able to pray, he couldn't keep his eyes open. There's no telling what they missed out on right there. They were close enough to the Savior to have been able to have watched, heard, listened. They could have heard Jesus praying. They could have saw Jesus praying. But instead, they were asleep. He had a self-confidence problem. He had a sleep and a supplication problem. Then you look at verse number 57. It shows us here that he had a stepping problem. His steps was distant from the Lord. And not only that, we find him in verse 69, he had a sitting problem. He was sitting without. The Bible said he was sitting without. He didn't want to even go in. He didn't want no identity with the Savior. And I tell you, friend, there's a lot of people today, in this hour, they get irate when you preach against sin. And when you get to preaching against separation, you preaching biblical sanctification, they will get fighting mad. And I'm going to tell you why. They don't want that identification to be a believer. They want to be saved, or supposedly, and be identified with the world. But they don't want to be identified with Christ. I don't have any confidence in that. I don't have any confidence in that. Amen. God help us, that's right. Amen. Lord, help us. His distance was revealed visibly by his steps, but also verbally by his speech. Distance never flies solo. Distance never travels alone. Distance always brings things with it that's no good. Nothing happens of any good when you're distant from the Lord. There's been homes that's blew apart because one or both husband and wife got distant from the Lord, and then they got distant from each other, and before you long, they blew up. Amen. There's been young people that's wound up in a far country because they got distant from the Lord. And probably some in here knows some that have done that. Amen. I want to just jump on this right here. You better make sure you're saved. I just don't think there's near as many people saved as we think. People say they get saved and they never grow. They never feed on the things of God. They have no desire for the Word of God. The people of God is not their crowd. Their heart beats for this world. Everything about them is fleshly and carnal and worldly. I want to tell you, friends, something, they missed a boat somewhere. They missed a boat somewhere. Amen. Because you're looking at one that God saved from a life of sin. Brother Wetzel, God saved me from a life of sin. And that was 41 and a half years ago. And you know what? I don't even know if I knew that 2 Corinthians 5:17 was in the Bible when I got saved. I doubt I did. I don't recall knowing it. But before I even knew that verse was in the Bible, the Holy Ghost did it. The Holy Spirit did that in my life. Amen. Made me a new creature, Brother Webb. And I bless the Lord for it. How can salvation leave you the same? How can salvation that cost God everything be lived out so cheaply in people's lives? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. God help us. Peter was, his distance was made visible by his steps, amen, and then verbally by his speech. Distance is decline, and decline is distance. When you are distant from the Lord, you're not on a level path, you're on a declining path that is going to get worse, and Peter exemplifies that it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. If you follow Peter from this point on all the way through, you'll find that he got in worse shape and worse shape and worse shape and worse shape. Distance is not to be tolerated. Distance is not to be looked on and say, well, you know I'm not really where I used to be. I know that, but I'm distant. It's been a while since I prayed. It's been a while since I felt the presence of God or whatever. But listen, you can't look at distance like that. Distance is your enemy. Whatever's against your spirituality is against your whole life. Amen. Amen. And Peter ended up doing all kinds of things. Amen. Quitting, in fact. When he said, I go fishing, he was quitting. He was hanging it up, wasn't he? Well, I'm glad to report to you, though, there's hope for us. There's hope for us. We can get close. Distance is not permanent. I wouldn't be here tonight if it was. You wouldn't be here tonight if it was. This church would be empty tonight if it was. If distance was permanent. Amen. God help us to learn. Every time that happens, Brother Brown, learn from it and say, you know what? I got distant and there wasn't nothing good come from that. There was no joy. There was no purpose. There was no peace. There was nothing there. Amen. And learn from that and avoid that. Oh my. There's all kind of verses that shows us that we can get close. Brother Wenzel quoted some of them, and I'm going to re-quote some of them, or read them. Listen to this, Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Hebrews 7, and verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. James 4:8, Brother Wenzel's text verse earlier today, James 4:8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I'm reading these verses to let you know you may be distant tonight, but you don't have to stay that way. You can't blame it on the political. You can't blame it on the financial. You can't blame it on the social. You can't blame it on nothing except yourself. It's me, Lord. It's me. Here's your another verse. Amen. Matthew 5, 15, verse number 7 and 8. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh," look at this, "it draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Boy, I want to tell you, that's every time I read that just gets my attention. It said there that their lips and their mouth, if you listen to them, oh my goodness, great Christians. But Jesus said, oh no, your heart's far from me. Isaiah 29:13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men." Ezekiel 33:31, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, and they will not do them. They will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Being distant tonight is a heart problem. It's not a circumstance issue. It's not relationships on this level horizontally. It's a heart problem. And it's not somebody else's heart either. It's yours. It's not mine, it's yours. It's not yours, it's mine. Amen. It's my heart that I need to keep my eye on. And I just want to share with that, give that to you. And I had a lot more that I was wanting to give you tonight. But you know this story well enough that you can go home and look at it. And here's what you're to think. If that can happen to Peter. If that can happen to Peter, it can happen to me. And it's happening to a lot of people. People are getting colder instead of closer. Getting colder instead of closer. And if you're distant from the Lord, where's that going to stop? How far are you going with that? Is there going to be a time that you get further and further away? Distant. You know what the Bible said there, that he followed afar off? You know, that probably could be referenced there as his pace. He wasn't walking fast enough. The Lord was ahead of him. And the devil will attack your pace to get you out of the race. He don't have to try to get you to quit. He'll just get you to slow down. If he can get you to slow down, then there'll be space put between you and the Lord. Distance. Are you listening? Fear. He was distant because of fear. He was afraid of being identified. And he could see how they were treating Jesus. Amen. Boy, it was sad though, the ones that came to arrest Jesus was closer to Jesus than Peter was. They had their hands on him, the Bible said. Judas actually kissed him. But Peter was afar off. I hope the Lord helps us with that tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you, dear Father, that you'd speak to our hearts about all that we've heard today, the warnings that we've heard. Lord, everything that we've heard today about closeness and not being able to have the power that we need to make a difference in people's lives. And I believe probably it's because of distance. We're at a guilty distance from you, Lord, and we've made excuses and we've blamed it on everybody and everything. But there's no excuse for it, Lord, really. I pray that you'd help us. I don't want to be like those that just up and deserted and ran off and forsook the Lord and fled. I don't want to be like that. I know some that have, but I don't want to be like that. But I also don't want to be like Peter. I don't want to follow afar off. Lord, I want to get close to you. I want to get closer. Lord, sometimes we can be satisfied with being close, but are we interested in being closer? We can be satisfied with being clean, but do we want to get cleaner? Father, help us, I pray. Lord, I don't know in the service tonight who was distant and who's losing ground on the inside. Outwardly, they may keep it hid. Nobody knows, but on the inside, they know if they're losing ground. They know if they're losing their joy and their song and their zeal and their drive. They know that. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'll speak to their heart. May your will be done tonight, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Jarvis, you want to come? Amen.